magnify the Lord with me. Let us exalt his name together. It's Wednesday, April 12th, 2017, Holy Week. Monday, Thursday is upon us. And I know, Jason, with your various activities, what's going on at the Community Evangelical Free Church? Because I think some of our listeners can still participate or get involved, especially sure. those maybe without a church home, or for those that want to maybe walk through a Seder meal or that special service you have on Friday.
Mm. Yeah, so we offer a couple of different things at our church that we're going to be doing, the Community Evangelical Free Church in Muhammad on Route 47. On Thursday night on 4/13 from 6:30 to 8 p.m., we have a Passover meal. We're going to take an authentic Jewish Passover meal, but always with an eye towards Jesus, and we're going to do that together. We're going to walk through the steps, walk through the order, understand what they mean for us, and also take time to reflect on what Jesus did. Even as we prayed before the program, you know, the weight of the events of this week and all that God did to bring this week into focus for us, to bring all that was needed for our salvation into this week. And so we want to just meditate upon that, spend some time together, and then afterwards we're going to have dinner together, a potluck dinner. And so it should be a good time. So you can RSVP for that at communityefca@gmail.com. That's communityefca@gmail.com. And there's plenty of room, so don't feel like, well, I don't know if, you know, I don't want to email because I don't know if there's enough room, or, you know, maybe it's a little late. We'd love to have you come. If you send that email, the secretary will get you another email right back out to help you understand what it is and what you could possibly bring to be a part of that meal. But we would love to have you.
And that's tomorrow night. And the time again?
6:30 to 8 p.m.
6:30 to 8. And Jason was mentioning about the emotions that we'll go through or run through this week. And as he was praying, he was saying, you know, Lord, help us feel all those emotions. And when he got done, I said, no. I said, it's so overwhelming.
It really is.
In a good way. And yet, when you take to heart all the different emotions, mm-hmm. I mean, the agony, the pain, the suffering, you know, that Monday, Thursday, and then Good right. Friday, which isn't so good. It's the good news message of what he did, but his death and burial and the agony and the brutalization from Thursday that carried over into Friday. Mm. When you were praying that, it's like when you say, Lord, teach me patience. Mm. You know, if you really want to be taught patience, it's going to be some life lessons that you're maybe not really wanting to have or walk through. And I thought, gosh, all the emotions that we'd have to run through will be poured out.
You know, it's interesting because when we say worship, we generally think hands in the air, voices lifted, uplifting.
Celebratory.
Yeah, celebratory. We think worship means that. Mm-hmm. But there is a sense that we need to worship through this week. And worshiping through this week means there will be times of silence and quiet. There will be times when the weight of what has happened, it presses against you. I mean, Good Friday should press against you. Good Friday should be something that you feel the weight. I mean, Saturday, where there is nothing happening because Jesus is in the grave. You should feel what the disciples felt, this sense of like, Lord, do we not hear anything? What am I supposed to feel right now? Even in light of the fact that we understand the events of Sunday, as we kind of get on the roadway of this historical event, we feel all that it has. And so that's what's interesting. I think when you do all these things, so we host, you know, at our church, the Passover meal. On Friday evening, we'll have our traditional Good Friday silent service. And what that is it's an interactive, come as long as you want, stay for as long as you want, or as little as you want. There's nobody leading you through it. It's not a service. I'm not going to preach. You come in, and it's you and God going through the stations of the Passion. You go to the communion in the upper room, and then you go to the Garden of Gethsemane, you go to Pilate's Praetorium, you go to the foot of the cross, and then you yourself go and do business at the cross. And we set this up this way because I believe there's nothing that I can say on Good Friday that is going to do justice for what happened. You have to feel it, and you have to feel it on your own. You and God have to meet and understand what God did in that moment, all that happened. And so at our church, as we go through these things, as we go through the Passover meal on Thursday night and on Friday night from 6 to 9 p.m., we have the church open for the Good Friday silent service. All these things happening, then you come to Saturday and there's nothing happening. Mm-hmm. You know, and it's so strange for us as a church, all of a sudden there's nothing. But that's exactly what it's supposed to be like. It's supposed to be where you're going, now what? Now what?
Or I think what tends to happen is we want to rush right into the celebratory Easter
sure.
Sunday and kind of, if you will, bypass. Oh, I don't want to go to that service or be depressed or yeah. be reminded of the death or the brutalization or something else you pointed out some years ago, and I just wrote it down, the lamentation, how oftentimes we don't have those periods of time where we lament.
Yeah.
We don't have many of those Christian songs. They're all praise and worship and upbeat. But Michael Card had written a few that really have that solemn silence where we have to reflect and wrestle with
right.
these hard things.
And we really should. We should wrestle with what's happening. Look, at God marked out this time. I said it on Sunday morning at our church. I said, even if you have a non-Christian friend, by the way, Barna did a study recently, and that study said that this is a time of year when even non-Christians expect to be invited to church.
Mm-hmm.
They expect you to do that as part of your faith. They expect that if you're a Bible-believing, Christ-is-risen Christian, that you're going to invite them, because this day is a day where they'll actually may say yes.
Mm-hmm.
They actually feel, Barna says, that most non-Christians will seed and go to church on this day. Wasn't that interesting? Because God marked this time out in history. By the way, we mark this out by we mark a calendar that we measure our months, days, weeks, and years by the Lord's Day, A.D., Adadamani, which is the day of the Lord, or the year of the Lord. And so we have this time that we've marked out. And so every year this comes to us as a reminder of all that God has done. It comes to us as kind of a way to get us back on track. And to get us back in track is not to worship more, per se, in that celebratory kind of hands in the air. To get us back on track involves us feeling sorrow,
mm-hmm.
involves us feeling celebration, involves us feeling longing and wondering, involves us actually talking about the fact that Jesus, our Lord and Savior, the most perfect and sinless person ever, was betrayed by one of his good friends. And all of us can go, amen, we know what that feels like.
Mm-hmm.
And so this is a time when we have to be real gut-level honest. The only way we're going to do that is if we experience all those emotions. I think it's so important. And we need to kind of get ourselves back on track. You know, one of the things that's really kind of frustrating me is as I kind of look around the church landscape is that I almost feel like this idea of like you need to come to this church or you need to come to this church or you need to come to this church is almost kind of amped up, like this kind of, you know, where it's like, gosh, I almost want to say like competition between all the churches. I saw an ad for a church this week where they said the only place you want to be on Easter. And I thought, wow. You know, the only place I want to be on Easter is in a church where they're preaching the gospel message, where it's a Bible-believing church, a Christ is risen kind of church, where they're standing on the place, the foundation that the apostles and prophets and all the saints, that great cloud of witnesses, stood. I want to be in that kind of place on Easter. But listen, if everybody just goes to one church on Easter, it's kind of a problem. And so more and more I've been like, man, I just want to see every church packed full. And I want to see Christians stop saying, come to my church, and start saying, go to a church. Go to one that's in your neighborhood. Go to one that wants to love and serve the people around them. Go to the one that its shadow kind of falls upon your house. You know, go to that church and be a part of that congregation and be a part of hearing that message, because we have a lot of churches. And the idea is not to build the little K kingdom. The idea is to build the big K kingdom, the kingdom of God that Jesus came to proclaim, that he came and he lived and he died for. And I just see that competition. And it's just, you know, this is a time of year, too, where, you know, church attendance bumps up. I know for us it does. We'll see more people than we'll see. But then always, you know, the week after Easter, you're kind of like, where'd they all go? If I have a challenge for people today, my challenge for them is, amen and yes, invite them to your church so they can come with somebody that they know. But maybe your message to all those that you do know is, hey, go to a church. Go to a church. Find a church. Find a church in your neighborhood. Find a church that's a mile away from you. Find a church and just go to church. Because the greatest thing we could ever hear on Easter morning is that every church everywhere was packed full mm-hmm. of people. Not some churches were packed full, but every church was packed full. And that somehow as church leaders, and I would lump myself in that group, that we would start to hold each other's arms up. You know, we would start to lift each other's arms up and cheer each other on rather than kind of this unfortunate competition that's creeped into churches where, you know, we got to get all the people over in our church. We got to get all the people. Look, if you can get 80 people in a building to worship the Lord, you're winning.
Aren't you doing something unique within your denomination where you're going to have some pastors in different churches, the same denomination but different locations?
Yeah. We're going to do that in October for the Reformation. We're each going to take one sermon of the five solas. So glory alone, faith alone, scripture alone, Christ alone, Bible alone. We're going to take each write one sermon, and then we're going to preach it at all of our churches. And so I'll go on the road for 5 weeks to preach the five solas, and somebody will come to my church for 4 of those weeks. And it'll be really interesting because we're going to do that. But in the process, you know, it brought me back. I keep going to a piece of scripture that's in the Old Testament in the Exodus, and I know I'm there because I'm prepping to start the Exodus after Easter. We're going to be in that for quite a while. It's going to be our big book that we're going to do for the year. But there's a great story in chapter 17 and verse 8, and it says, "Then Amalek came and fought with Israel at Rephidim." And Amalek, the Amalekites, they're the enemies of Israel, and they come to this valley at Rephidim. By the way, in Hebrew, the word Rephidim means rest. So the Israel came to rest in this place, at this place of rest, and immediately when they rested on their laurels, when they stopped, I'm going to contextualize this verse like crazy, but immediately when they came to rest and they took their eye off the ball, they got attacked by the enemy, the enemy being the Amalekites. And so in it, Moses says to Joshua, he says, "Go choose some good men and then go out and begin to fight." And then at that moment, Moses takes Aaron, and Aaron picks Hur, and they go up to the top of the mountain. And it says that whenever Moses held his arms up with the staff of the Lord, the Israelites were winning. And whenever he lowered his arms, they were losing. Well, we only know that when he lowered his arms, they were losing is because Moses got tired and he lowered his arms. Mm-hmm. And then they found themselves losing. But what's fascinating in that passage is it says that Aaron and Hur lifted up Moses' arms and held them up there. When they got tired, they put some rocks under his arms. Mm-hmm. And I just thought, you know what, could Moses and Aaron and Hur be a picture of three churches? That, you know, when one gets tired, the other one lifts it up. That as churches, we lift each other's arms up, because the idea is not that the little K kingdom is winning, but that the big K kingdom is winning. Because the enemy is going to keep coming. And at certain points and at different places, the church comes to rest because you get tired. And so we need, as churches, to cheer each other on, to say, "You can do it. Let me help you raise your arms up. Let me encourage you." It's one of the things that I've been passionate about the last couple of weeks. In fact, in our community, I collected all the service times for the local churches, and I'm going to put them on our website. I'm going to say, you know, we'd love to have you come to our church, but you know what? I'd love for you to go to a church. I'd love to hear the story that all of our church attendance and all of our churches was bumped up because people came to hear the gospel. It's not about my church. It's about the church. It's about Jesus' message that he came and he lived and he died for. If the message of what happens in Easter week stops at the front doors of my church, I'm just going to be honest with you. I don't know if I believe the magnitude of it. Because the magnitude of it is that it goes outside the doors, and it's everywhere, and it's all powerful, and that I'm cheering on all kinds of churches. I mean, Paul didn't say, you know what, Thessalonica, that's the one. He said, no. Thessalonica, Corinth, Lystra, all these different places, all these Philippi, all these different churches. I'm cheering all of you on. You can do it. You know, and I love that idea of how the Apostle Paul was just cheering churches on, telling them you could do it, helping them to raise their arms back up because they had become tired, they had become complacent, they had become defeated. And when he writes to them, what does he say? I didn't desire to know anything amongst you but Christ and him crucified. Right. So he says, look, the Easter message, that's what I want to talk to you about. I want to talk to you about what Christ has done. In fact, he says, if Christ wasn't risen from the dead, then you know what, your faith is in vain. And so Paul is writing to him and saying, hey, you know what? This message is so important that if you lose sight of it, then all that you do is vain.
Right.
And so I think we need to remind ourselves of that. We need to challenge ourselves of that. We need to say, you know what? This is what matters most. And the advancement, at the end of the day, when I reach whatever day it is the Lord's going to take me home, if the advancement of that message happens and the church remains at the same number it was when I took it over, that's okay. Because the message advancing is what matters.
Well, that's what I've appreciated about you these last, I don't know, so many years when you started doing the silent service on Friday and then even the Passover Seder meal, is you made those available. Because I know some people that I know well came and they asked basically for all your notes or your outlines and then took it to their church and presented it. I know at least two different people that presented that Seder meal at their church, and then that Good Friday service, I was so enamored or impressed or overwhelmed how you set it up, all the visual aids and interactive. And I think three or four years ago, I guess we've been doing this for 5 years, one of the years that you did it, I talked at length about it because I wanted other churches to replicate it, because I thought if they came and saw what you did, they may take it back to their church. And you were saying, hey, you know, this is our outline, this is how we did it.
Yeah.
And you were very open. In fact, you said, hey, if you want to take my notes and use part of it, use all of it, maybe even do it this way and you can use some of the props. Or, you know, I thought you were very generous and open-minded with that. And so,
yeah, a number of years ago, I went to another church, actually. This was probably 3 years ago, maybe four. I went to another church down south, and I actually helped them do it because I said, I want you to do it. Because they were saying, oh, next year can we bring a group of 20 up to come to your Passover meal? And I said, no, you can't. I said, but you know what? Easier than 20 coming up to my church, I'll come to yours and you do it. And then you get your feet on the ground running and then you start doing it.
Right.
Why does my church have to become the destination for you to come and do that thing? Do it in your church. Right. You know, the best thing is that I have 50 people at my church doing it, and you got 20 that's going to grow to 50 at your church. And maybe out of that 20 that grows to 50, maybe there's one person who attends who goes, I'd like to do it at my church. And their 20 grows to 50. And pretty soon, you know, maybe the testimony of it all will be that 10 or 15 years down the road, there are 150 or 200 or 300 people that never conceived that they were going to be a part of a Passover meal now doing it.
Right.
I mean, I think that's the win. But you know what? That's a slow gain. That's not the packed service on Sunday morning that we kind of cheer and we go like, yay, look at all these people. But again, I mean, the high is great, but the low, I mean, the week after Easter when kind of all of a sudden you're back to normal attendance, and maybe a few people have come back because they were intrigued and they want to see when you're not putting on the bigger show, what it looks like. And that's another thing is, you know, we're real intentional that on Easter, our service is going to, it'll feel a little different because we are celebrating our risen Savior. We have reason to shout to the rooftops. We have reason to sing louder. We have reason to do that. But functionally, our service is going to be no different than a normal service.
But won't you have a breakfast?
Yeah, we have a breakfast. Yeah. But I mean, functionally,
I'll be there.
No. Functionally, the service itself is going to be no different because I don't think that that's fair. I've been to churches where they pull out all the stops on Easter morning. And this happened, about 8 years ago. I went to a church and they had pulled out all the stops. I mean, it was magnificent. It was amazing. They had like two choirs and it was
the symphony in there.
It was incredible. I just want to say it's incredible. And I brought an unbelieving friend with me and he was blown away. He was like, wow, this is amazing. And he went back the next week and he called me and he said, what happened? He said, I went the next week and there was none of that. He goes, it was like four people on stage playing music and it was like, he said, what happened? And I think there's a real danger in that because that's kind of the shell game. Like, you know, where's it at? Where's that? Oh, look, big show. And then all of a sudden it's not. And you go, wait a second. Now, I know some people might push back and say, yeah, but, you know, he rose from the dead, so we're going to pull out all the stops. I get that, but an unbeliever doesn't get that. And sometimes I think we have to look at things and say, how will the person who has never heard this message before perceive what we're doing?
Didn't become a big show.
Yeah. Look at Paul said, in one of my life verses, I didn't come with wise and persuasive words, but with a demonstration of the power of the Spirit. If you contextualize that, Paul said, I didn't come with a different kind of service. I didn't come with a different kind. I came with the same message I always come with, and that message is powered by the Holy Spirit, and that is Christ in Him crucified. Mm-hmm. And that message is enough. My wife reminds me of this all the time because recently we had a discussion at our church. We had to buy some new projectors. And so we're having this whole thing, and I'm like, that's not my wheelhouse. So the whole time I'm like, lumens, what does that mean? Oh, my gosh, how do we do this? And my wife just looked at me one night while I was kind of beating my head against the table trying to get my head around the technology. And she goes, you know, there was a time when you just opened the Bible and you preached and men and women got saved.
Yeah.
And I thought, you know what, honey, you are so right. The word in itself has such power.
Yeah.
And so if I'm devoting more time to finding what kind of projector it is than relying on the power of God's Spirit through the spoken word, the word of God, then we're missing the mark.
Yeah.
And so I don't want to poo-poo, you know, Easter for people and like, oh, no, yeah, I guess all we got to do, you know. But I do want to challenge us. I want to challenge us to get back to the message that we all heard that saved our lives, the message that took a broken man and turned him into a husband and a father, a message that took a broken woman and turned her into a mother and reminded her that she's a child of God, the kind of message that saved families and it changed lives. I want us to get back to that message. I want us to stop all the corollary things where we put all our time and our efforts into doing all those things, and we lose sight of the fact that Christ has risen indeed. Mm-hmm. And the Bible tells us, come and see the place where he laid. And so the Bible's telling us, come and hear the story again. Come and continue to hear the story. Come and keep hearing the story. It doesn't tell us to come and keep doing all the other things, but it tells us to hear that story.
Now, I know you mentioned midway through today's program about the importance of people going to any churches and your real heart for that, but you do have a couple special things, and I wanted to, again, encourage our listeners, if you've never attended a silent special service as been put on at the Community Evangelical Free Church of Mahomet, it would be worthwhile because you may take some of those ideas and maybe next year implement them into a service into your church. But what do you have going on tomorrow and then on Friday?
Sure. So tomorrow night we have our Passover meal. You can still, as we said, RSVP for that. That's going to be at communityefca@gmail.com, communityefca@gmail.com. Just send out an email saying how many you'd like to attend that meal. That's going to be from 6:30 to 8 p.m. And then Friday, we have our Good Friday Silent Service, which, like I said, it's the Stations of the Passion. You stay as little or as long as you want. There's no message. There's no one who even leads you through it. I just give you a pamphlet and tell you, kind of give you a quick explanation to start here. You'll end here, and then you're on your own. And that goes from 6 to 9 p.m. So by all means, go to your home church and go to their Good Friday service. And then on your way home, stop by and go through the stations and just do some business with God. And then Saturday, just like the disciples, we have nothing going on. And then Sunday morning at 10 a.m., we have our Easter breakfast. It's a family-free breakfast, so you come and you can have breakfast. And at 10:45, we are going to worship our Lord and Savior and declare that he has risen.
All right, if you missed some of that information and you need clarity or have some questions, you can always call the station if you can't remember the Evangelical Free website. You can call 217-367-7777, and we'll provide that link or more information. And we would pray and certainly hope that you're going to be engaged with other believers and friends this week, and certainly invite that maybe unchurched person or someone that you know doesn't go to church on a regular basis, invite them to your church and pick them up, maybe offer to break bread with them, take them out to a restaurant or somewhere afterwards, or invite them over into your home. Well, thanks for listening. Thanks for being a part of our radio listening family. This is Mark Burns and Pastor Jason Schiffel with the Ministry of Great News Radio. God bless you. Have a great day and night.